turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This being Christmas, we're going to look at the Christmas story this morning. Luke chapter 2. We'll read several verses. We're going to start in verse number 1. Here are the pages. I'll wait a second here. Luke chapter 2. We'll read starting in verse 1 together. It says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That nothing has changed in many, many years. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless us in our few minutes together. Help us to, as we just look at Christmas and kind of have a right thought about what the time of year is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we are less than a week away from Christmas. How many of you enjoy Christmas? You like Christmas? Good. I'm glad you do. How many of you go into debt at Christmas? Don't raise your hand on that one, all right? Christmas is great until the bills come in January. Then it's not good. Christmas is kind of an up and down time for many. Many people, it's a great time. Some, because of family issues or depression or so forth, it can be a very bad time. Studies tell us that overall depression rises during the holidays, especially when you get those bills. Stress rises for people. The stress of shopping, okay? You go out there, you got to fight to get a parking spot and do all the nonsense. Overspending. And, of course, one that none of us would have a problem with here, overeating, okay? By the way, it's just the holidays. That's why New Year's comes perfectly after Christmas. Then you can make a New Year's resolution and lose that weight. People don't always treat people well sometimes. It seems every year when they talk about Christmas and shopping, you see somebody getting trampled to death at Walmart, okay? By the way, if you sense a pattern, the best thing to do is stay away from Walmart so you don't get killed. But actually, you notice some people actually treat people nicer this time of year than they will starting December 26th. Take advantage of it. But underneath it all, people lose focus about what Christmas is really all about. Christmas is a Christian holiday. Christ's name is right in it. Society is trying to wash that out. By the way, years ago, our society understood that. It was known during the Christmas time, I listened to North Valley has a, I think it's an internet radio station. I don't think it's a regular radio station. So I have it on my computer and I have it on my phone. And so I'll listen to it in the car and whenever I have it on pretty much during Christmas. So I'll play all Christmas music. And yesterday I was making some visits and I think it was on and Bing Crosby was singing. Now, Bing Crosby's not a pastor. He's not, you know, I don't even know if he's a Christian. But in that, in the middle of the song, he starts talking and he said, Bing Crosby, he said, Christmas is a time when God came down and became man. He had it right. Okay? Our society doesn't even understand half of it now. It's a Christian holiday. We get irritated because companies now say Happy Holidays or Xmas. They've taken Jesus' name right out of it. But let's take advantage of this time. It is a good time of year. We get to spend extra time with our family. If you enjoy your family. If not, it could be a problem there. You get extra time with friends. You get to do fun things. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. You get to spend a little extra time with your family, you know. I'll go out. I go shopping with the kids. I remember one year we were shopping. My wife was in line to pay, and they had a seat up in front. So I'm like, you go pay. I'm going to go sit down. So I sat down, and I was next to the Salvation Army pot. And I guess the guy that was supposed to be handling it was gone. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, whatever. And someone came by. They thought I was running it. And they came by, and they put like 50 cents in and said, I'm sorry, that's all I have. And I'm like, that's okay. God bless you. So I thought, I have to wait anyhow. Let's see if we can raise some money here. So I was sitting there. As people come by, I just kind of like, you know, so we were raising some money there, but I didn't get any of it. But we had a good time. But that's Christmas. We all like Christmas. But we must understand what the story is all about. You look at the old time. Remember the Charlie Brown Christmas. I can't believe it. But Linus gets up, and I think he quotes Luke chapter 2. Now, if he did that nowadays, that he would be the ACLU would have him in jail right away. Bunch of nonsense. But anyhow. But what is Christmas really all about? I want you to understand just a couple of the basics this morning. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to change it. Last week we talked about how to win over worry. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to go over some things about Christmas. You don't have to worry. Starting in the new year, you can start worrying, okay? But let's look at Christmas. First of all, Christmas is a story of Scripture. It's the story of the way man has chosen to live. It's the story of God understanding that, man, we have went our own way, and God reaching out to us to change that direction. Christ's coming is foretold in the Bible. When Jesus was born, it was not some obscure event. It was something that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, really starting from Genesis, and it was supposed to come. What is the story of Scripture? The story of Scripture is that we all owe a debt. In verse 3, it talks about Joseph and Mary going to be taxed, and he had to go to his own city, so he had to take off and go. He owed a debt, and he had to go pay it. That's what the story was about. By the way, we all owe a debt. We have a sin debt that we can never, ever, ever pay. That's what the Bible talks about. We know the verses well. Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. From the very foundational pages of the Bible, we see that as a human beings, as men, we choose to go our own way. And because we choose to go our own way, we have a sin debt that needs to be paid. That is from the foundational pages of the Bible. And the story of Scripture and the story of Christmas is that that debt needed to be paid. The debt started in the very early pages of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, talking of Eve. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto to her husband with her, and he did eat. That is the day that our debt started. Eve was the first one to sin. She gave to her husband. She sinned also. And that sin nature, that sinfulness, was passed down to all of their children. And we acquired it when we were born. We all owe a debt. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came to help us with that? we died spiritually. God told Eve in the day, Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat the fruit, you're going to die. They did not physically die that day, but spiritually they died when they ate the fruit and the debt was born. It also shows us the story of Scripture. We've gone our own way. Just like the innkeeper that had no room for Jesus and they stuffed him in the inn, it just seems like we don't have room for Jesus anymore. Why? Because Jesus interferes with what I want to do. That's it. We all naturally just, we want to do our own thing, and we don't like when people get in our face and tell us that's not what we are supposed to do. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's where Eve went wrong. She didn't follow the truth she was told, but instead, she chose to follow her own senses. And mankind has been saddled with that ever since. They said, don't eat the tree over here. And Satan got her mixed up, and she looked. She said, you know what? That doesn't look too bad. In fact, I like the way it looks. You ever see, you start looking at something, and you don't see the consequences of the action. I told a story many years ago. Hannah, when she was about 2 or 3, you know, we didn't childproof our home. We told them they couldn't do things. And, you know, the Christmas tree was off limits because they throw the bulbs down and break them. And so everyone, when we had a little kid, we got to teach them this, okay? And here we go. I'm sitting in the living room, and here comes Hannah. Like, she sees the lights, and it's like a bug, you know, doot, 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 doot. I'm in. And she starts walking towards it, and I'm like, here we go. It's time to teach her. So I didn't say anything. And right when she got next to the Christmas tree and she reached her hand out, I said, stop! Like, no, 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 no. You don't touch it. You know, repeat after me. No, 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 no. All right, go on your merry way. I knew it's going to happen. A couple minutes later, she comes walking through again, and she looks at the tree, and she looks at me. Daddy said, no. She looks at me again. She looks at the tree, and I'm like, don't do it. And she looked at those beautiful, by the way, that is not, I mean, I'm not criticizing our lady. That is not how you decorate a tree. A Christmas tree should have colored lights. How many of you think that? Ladies, you like those white lights and you're messing up your men. Colored lights are what a tree should be. Seriously, that's just like, those aren't Christmas lights. Neither are those. But anyhow, back to the thing. We have colored lights. The girls hate it. But I'm the man of the house, okay? We're having colored lights. My wife always tries to fight me on it, but I win. Now, so she looks at those colored lights. I'm like, Hannah, she quit looking at me. Forget it. She was done. She was going right for that thing. We had to teach her how not to do that. That's how we are. We turn, hey, that doesn't look too bad. By the way, Hannah still grabs the bulbs on the Christmas tree, and she's 20. I mean, she's got issues. But that's what we do. We see things, and we don't base what we do off of what God says. We base what we do off of what we see. Oh, it looks so good. Oh, it's pleasing. It's good for food. It'll help me. See, that's the doom of mankind. If we don't follow God, we are doomed to live life based on our senses and what we think is best, and we mess ourselves up. We don't know what's best. Our flesh just naturally desires the wrong thing. And because of that, we owe a debt. We do our own thing. That is why as a society, we are not just trying to wipe Christ out of Christmas. We're trying to wipe him off the face of the earth. We don't want to hear about it anymore. You can't mention his name in our schools. Any other group can come in and have a study group. They can have special meetings there, but not Christians. By the way, yes, we can, but you have to go to court to get it. There's a court case in Hawaii now, sometimes churches can rent schools. The schools will rent their space out to make extra money. And now in Hawaii, the atheists are like, we don't want the Christians to be able to rent the school. That's not separation of church and state. They're taking them to court. Several years ago in San Diego, there was churches that were renting, and they came in and decided, well, since you're a church and not a different group, we're going to charge you way more to rent it than we would charge anybody else. They had to go to court to get that fixed. See, there's a reason it's only Christians. It's because of Christ. The world rejects him. That's the story of Scripture. And when you do hear his name, it's a cuss word. So it's a story of Scripture. Christmas, it's also the story of salvation. If the story of Scripture is the sinfulness of mankind and mankind heading his own direction, the second part of the story of Scripture is the redemption of mankind through the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. Luke chapter 2, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He was not just a baby, he was a Savior. He was come to die for the sins of the world. It's the good news. We call the gospel. The gospel is the good news. See, the story of Christ is not so much a story about his beginning in the manger as a babe. It's a story of him coming to fulfill his purpose on this earth, which is to die on the cross as a man. A song we sometimes sing here, "Born to die upon Calvary." That's why from all eternity, we knew this, but fleshly speaking, when Christ became a man on that earth on his birthday, he was headed to the cross. That was the path. That's where he's going. And aren't we thankful that that's where he went? We miss it if we don't see the end at the beginning. Look at Luke. We didn't read these verses. Look at verse 25 of chapter 2. We miss it if we don't see the end at the beginning. "And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." God had let him know, you're not going to die until you see the coming Messiah. "And he came by the Spirit of the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him after the custom of the law, then took he up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the earth, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." As he looked down at this baby and he saw Jesus Christ, he said, I can die now. I have seen your salvation. Who was he looking at? He was looking at Jesus Christ. He was the one that would bring salvation. That's why he was born. He was looking at the babe, but he saw the Son of God. The story of the Bible is the story of God sending his Son to die for us that we might have life. Not just eternal, but also abundant. Christmas is about, it's not about, but we give gifts. We like to do nice things for people, for our children, for our family. We do those things. Hey, the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us salvation's a gift. We know the verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the story is all about. It's not some story about someone being born in a barn with a bunch of animals, although he was born in a manger. We miss that story. It's not about the men coming and giving the giving them the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh, although that's part of the story. We're missing what the story is and the details of the story. Those are details. What it's really about is that God came and became man to die for our sin so we could be saved. Also, number three, it's the story of the Savior. "For unto you is born in this day the city of David a Savior." We say it, we have the buttons, but Christmas really is about Jesus Christ. He's been replaced by Santa Claus, believe it or not. Someone that could seriously use a diet. It's about gifts. There's nothing wrong with gifts. Sadly to say, Christmas is about parties that really dishonor his name. I wouldn't go to a party that dishonors his name. I don't care who's having it. It's about, you know, what is it? 40% of the economy. That's wonderful. It's about days off. And by the way, days off are fine. Enjoy your time. No one's saying, you know, sit in a closet. But it's about Jesus Christ. Let us remember what he has done for us. Don't, It may become secular out there, but don't let it become secular in here. By the way, I mentioned earlier, look at all the verses of the Christmas hymns. Some of those things have some tremendous doctrine. We sing the words, and we know the words by heart because they're Christmas songs, but we never stop to look at the words and what they mean. Man, there's some serious doctrine in there. It's not some fluff stuff. You know, have yourself a merry little Christmas. That's fine. Frosty, the gender-neutral snow person. Okay, whatever. A gingerbread, some days it could be a man, the other days it could be a woman. You're not sure. Okay? That's fluff. But some of the other songs are great. American Civil Liberties Union is busy this time of year. They're trying to wipe out any vestige of Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus. By the way, his name is a good name. By the way, it's not a cuss word. Amen. Some people get mad and say, you know, and I'm not saying anything, they say Jesus Christ in an anger sense. I say, well, what about him? He had nothing to do about the fact you don't know how to drive. Okay? He had nothing to do about the fact that you closed your finger in a drawer. That's your fault. Okay? He's the same. By the way, why don't they say Allah? Why don't they say, like, you know, Sigmund Freud? It's Jesus. It's ridiculous. You know, Buddha. We should start that. When you get mad, just say, Buddha. Just kidding. Jesus' name is important. Let me read some verses. And he shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. And the angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He must have been a Baptist. But such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, man, I don't have anything, but you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up, walk. His name is important. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 says, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by his name doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you here whole. His name's a big deal. Why? Because he is the Savior. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. It's also the story of sharing. You see, for those of us, look, society can try to shut his name down out there outside. Let's take his name away from Christmas. Let's take his name away from this. You can't say it in the schools. You can't do it here. You can't do it in the courthouse. You can't even pray in his name before the court. And all that nonsense. Let's take all that away. But what about us? They can quit. They can take his name away, but we're supposed to be out there sharing his name. We shouldn't shut up. I like Pastor Pichardo. Not this one. I like this one too. I like Pastor Pichardo. Your brother too. They sent us a letter one time. Can you come pray before city council? And Pastor didn't want to do it, so he's like, Brother Pichardo, why don't you go do it? So Brother Pichardo went, and they sent him guidelines for prayer. Guidelines. And it said you can't pray in the name of Jesus. Didn't say Buddha. Didn't say Allah. Didn't say Confucius. Didn't say whoever, Oprah. Oh, I don't do nothing. So Pastor Pichardo said, I'll pray. And he went down there, he prayed, and when he got done, he said, in Jesus' name, amen. They didn't like that. Tough luck. Look, they can wipe his name out. Why don't we get out and spread his name? Luke chapter 2, we read the verse in 10. And the angel appeared and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. See, the joy, they were telling them about the Christ child being born, but it wasn't just for them. It was for everybody. We're to get the good news out. We read the verse, you know, when we talk about salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful verse. Okay, that's how you get saved. Now keep reading. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone to take the word to them. Here's how you get saved. You call on the Lord, but they can't call on him if they don't believe. They can't believe if they haven't heard. And someone's got to go tell them. That's the news of Christmas. Listen, stand up for Jesus. Don't be afraid to use his name. Before I was saved, I didn't. I cuss like everybody else, like all my in-laws still do. I did all that, but the name of Jesus, I didn't want to say it. I wouldn't go that far, and it was just like foreign to me. I knew I didn't know him. I knew I wasn't part of it, so I just didn't say it. It kind of freaked me out. And then when I got saved, I got right with God. I'm like, you know, it's kind of weird to talk that way. You know, I trusted Jesus. And it's like, that's not too bad. Then Jesus. And it got easier. It's like, hey, before I didn't know him, no wonder I didn't want to use his name. Now I know him, and I'm not afraid to use his name. Jesus. Let's not be ashamed of him. Let's lift him up to this lost and dying world. The fact of salvation and sharing the fact of eternal life with people. It's about salvation. Born to die upon Calvary. But can I just tell you something? That death will do no good if people don't hear it. You know the phrase we use all the time, the good news is only good news if it gets there in time. Why do we support missions worldwide? We have many missionaries we support. Why do you send guys off to Cambodia? Well, because people there need Jesus. Why do you have a team in Thailand? People need Jesus. Why do you have Brother Tong and his team in that restricted country? Because they need to hear about Jesus. Why are we praying and putting money away and starting to formulate a team to go into China? Because they need to hear the name of Jesus. It's not just a gift we get for ourselves and we hold on to it and say, yes, I received the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to hang on to it tightly. Like some child that gets a Christmas toy and their cousins come over on Christmas Day and it's like, don't touch it. It's mine. No. That's the gift we're to give away. That's the gift we're supposed to share with everybody else. It's good news for all people, and it's the gift of eternal life. It's also the gift of the abundant life. You see, when someone meets Jesus Christ, he can come into their life if they will let him, and they can change them and transform them and make them new. Aren't you glad Jesus changes lives? Some of you in here, you need to remember where you came from. You know, sometimes we get a little too polished. Well, you know, I come to church and I see those bus kids on Sunday night, and they're in here, and they just, who cares what you think? Where were you? By the way, I remember the first time I came to church, I was a terror. I was in fifth grade, first time I ever went to church. I'm sitting in Sunday school. I only went because they were giving away a box of candy canes if you came. And I'm sitting there, and every time that teacher said something, I was making comments. It's probably hard for you to believe. I'm kind of quiet. And he would walk around the table, and he came. He shouldn't do this. He'd probably go to jail today, but I didn't have any problem with it because I knew I deserved it. He'd come around, and he'd pinch you right where your nerve is. I'm like, ugh. And I'd sit up straight, and but when he went to the other side of the table, I'd start all over again. And then he'd come back around. He'd pinch this side. Real calm. Didn't yell at us. But listen, by the way, you know, when we get in that new building, it's like, all right, we're getting in that new building now. Let's not let these kids in there. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why don't you remember who you were? See, you may have a halo, but you have horns somewhere. Yeah. See, someone helped us, excuse me, and we get all cleaned up, and then we don't step out to help anybody else. What a shame. What a shame. It's the gift we're supposed to give. By the way, the best part of Christmas isn't receiving gifts, it's giving gifts. So I want you to be happy. Give me something. Why don't we share with people the greatest gift of all, and we don't only do it at Christmas time. We do it all year round. Yeah. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ? It's the gift of sharing. Listen, have a great Christmas this year. Have fun. Do all those things you do. But let's remember, and not just at Christmas time, let's remember year round what the story's about. The story is about the fact that we've turned from God, we're sinful creatures, but Jesus Christ came to save us. Let's accept his gift and let's share it with others. And let's remember him at his birthday. Let's pray this morning. Let's all stand together.